Okay, I think we're probably ready to get going. So it's a very small crowd in a very big room. It's starting at 8 o'clock in the morning after the gala is probably not the recipe for the most robustly attended session. I will mention that the Birds of a Feather session on Tuesday evening was in a much smaller room, overflowing at the seams with about 60 people in it. So anyways, what we plan to do this morning is really just review where we're at in the progress and the dialogue with the community on two strategic initiatives. The DNS CERT has been the one that certainly received the most attention, but I want to review with everyone what we've done across both areas and what we'd like to do with the community moving forward. And there are a few more people wandering in, so including Dr. Crocker. So, good morning. So as background, and I put these slides together at the start. I wanted to actually use the exact slides that I had used in Nairobi, particularly this one. The reason for ICANN putting together these two strategic initiatives stems from a lot of work we've done with the community over the past probably 18 months to a year. And in particular, that we'd queued up these initiatives as part of the strategic planning process within ICANN last fall, and it had been vetted through that process. I do want to note the bold-faced bullet on the slide. As early as at the Nairobi meeting, we had wanted to state clearly that organizational and resource approaches to the initiatives had not been addressed, that these were really initiatives to begin a dialogue with the community about what needed to be done in these areas, not predetermined answers. That certainly remains the case, and we certainly got a large amount of feedback about the need to work with the community as we flesh out particularly the CERT idea, as well as come up with organizational and resourcing constructs for that. So I do continue to feel as the person on staff to put together the initiatives that, we need to focus both on risk assessment as well as the notion of a DNS CERT. And I still think the DNS system-wide risk analysis has not received the attention that I had hoped it would receive within the community, and hopefully that will continue. In some ways, we've had a lot of interaction, less formal written comment, indicating that this is really the horse that should be in front of the cart, that we really should do more work on what are the risks to the DNS, what seek community agreement about the prioritization of those risks, and then move on to things like contingency planning and the development of response capabilities through a CERT. So I'm hoping that we continue to work towards the creation of both a process for a community-wide risk assessment, as well, again, as outlined in the initiative, the notion of some system-wide contingency planning for the key risks, and potentially even working on exercise programs, both participating in exercises that involve the domain name system, and there's a growing number of international cyber exercise efforts where we have linkages both in the United States and Europe. And this would be part of that exercise program. Again, we've received very little feedback on the notion, particularly on the contingency planning and exercise notion. So I would continue to encourage the community, if they have thoughts in that regard, to provide those to us. Then the initiative, which has been the center of much more attention, is the Domain Name System CERT, or Computer Emergency Response Team. Again, this is really couched. CERT's a label. We're really thinking about collaborative response capabilities to address systemic threats and risks. We've had examples of that. They're outlined in the DNS CERT business case. And Yuri Ito on my left, who's our staff lead for this effort, is going to talk about an operational requirements workshop that we had and some of the use cases that were involved in what we think are the types of situations that might involve efforts by system-wide response capability or CERT. The key aspects of what we thought was necessary, again, are detailed in the business case, but full-time staff and global reach, coordinate existing capabilities and reach to the less well-resourced operators. Again, these are the slides that we used to explain these initiatives at the last meeting in Nairobi. So we're hoping that, you know, it's clear to the community that we are aware that there is a wide range of existing resources that work in this area, and we continue to work with those people. Again, Yuri's going to detail a little bit more, you know, the efforts that we've had to reach out to existing organizations in the development of the concept for a DNS cert. So in terms of moving forward into the last few months and coming up to the Brussels meeting, where we think that what I call the state of play or the activities that have gone on related, particularly to the CERT initiative, we had planned, you know, back to the January-February timeframe when we were fleshing out these initiatives, that we knew in the CERT initiative we needed to get down to a finer level of understanding of the requirements that such an organization might have, both in terms of, you know, what would it do, and then also in terms of what others are already doing, so it didn't try to replicate or duplicate those sorts of capabilities. So we've had that workshop. Yuri's going to talk to who was there and the outcomes of that workshop. That workshop report was posted along with a summary of comments that we received on both strategic initiatives, and we also provided a detailed list of consultations that we'd done on the DNS cert, as there were some questions as to who we'd talk to as we put together that initiative. So that long, detailed list is also available. All these things are publicly posted on the ICANN webpage. During this period, there's been an exchange of letters with the CCNSO, GNSO, and ALAC chairs between the CEO, Rod Beckstrom, and the chairs of those committees about how to move forward with a community-wide look at the requirement here for a DNS cert. My understanding is, you know, the two supporting organizations, as well as potentially the ALAC and Steve, I believe we've talked about the ESSAC potentially supporting a community-wide working group. My understanding is the GNSO yesterday approved drafting of a charter for that working group. So there is a supporting organization and advisory committee effort to begin a working group within the ICANN structure on the topic of a DNS cert, as well as we know that there's a discussion, you know, outside the ICANN staff and the formal ICANN communities. Paul Vixie has made a couple blog postings on this topic, and there was this Birds of a Feather session sponsored by Paul on Tuesday evening. That was a very robustly attended session, lasted for an hour and a half. Really, I think, was, again, the beginning of a dialogue with certain communities about, you know, what a DNS cert would be, and particularly the notion of potentially an organization that would pool resources from across the community that would oversee a functional operational organization. So the notion of a two-tier model for resourcing and then operating a response capability. So the next few slides really try to, you know, provide for everybody what we heard and what, you know, as a staff we think the next steps are, as well as we'll go into some detail on the workshop itself. As I've mentioned, the initiative on risk assessment, contingency planning, and exercising was not a focus of much public comment at all. There were numerous comments that really started with, you should work on a risk assessment. We, the DNS community, really need to understand what we think the risks are and what their priority are so that we don't, you know, create capabilities for things that aren't essential. But there was no concrete suggestions about how the community should actually put together a risk assessment. And I'm going to probably end this to a degree with, we don't have a specific game plan at this point as to how a community-wide DNS risk assessment would occur. We did have a limited, you know, comment. A couple of government comments were supportive of the notion of, you know, a culture of preparedness. That quote comes from the UK's comment on these initiatives, and the notion that contingency planning for key risks is something that is necessary, or at least governments, you know, in a couple of cases, pointed that out as a very useful thing to be working on. So moving again to the CERT, we got, you know, my 3 years in ICANN, one of the more robust sets of public comments on a given topic, certainly for the security team within ICANN. This has been the topic that's received the most attention in our public comment. We had 30 or 40 different posted comments specifically related to the DNS CERT. What you see on the slide is really the bullets that summarize that public comment. I think almost in every case, I'm trying to think if there was no case, in having read the comments through a couple times, where anybody said the DNS CERT is an idea that's not worth discussing. So there's almost always a prefatory comment that, you know, we're all committed to security and resiliency, that, you know, we need to understand response capabilities. Now, that often was the prelude to some fairly pointed, you know, to be direct, negative comments on the specifics that were proposed on this topic, in terms of there was a lot of notion that the analysis, anyways, needed a deeper understanding of threats and risks, again, that the response capability should be fine-tuned to what was specifically the most important systemic risk, if it's going to be a system-wide capability. Something where we thought we had done a lot of due diligence, and we continue to do so, but, you know, that an understanding of current response capabilities both within organizations and the domain name system, and then a lot of comment from both governments and some of the system operators that we needed to understand how this fit into the existing computer incident response and security team CERT structure, needed to be deepened. I hope in some measure that was really an oversight in our part, and part of the reason we listed the set of consultations that we've done was because we've had a fairly robust dialogue with that community, as I'll mention in a second. You know, Yuri's on the steering committee of the Global Incident Response First organization, and we've been working with them for a year related to the notion of, you know, how does the domain name system play in the emergency responder community, including doing a workshop at the recent first global meeting in Miami last week. So we understand that need. We are working hard in terms of the staff efforts to really make that liaison with other sorts of response capabilities. The other kind of capability that was much mentioned is an organization called DNS OARC, the Operational Analysis and Response, Operational Analysis and Research Center. And we've had constant contact with members of that organization and all the activities that we've done, and they are considering and put in a supportive notion for a DNS CERT and want to work through what their role may be in that regard. There was a little bit less comment, but some pointed and, I thought, useful comment from those in the less resource portions of the domain name system about the fact that they do have very limited security capabilities and do seek potentially the support from a more centralized CERT or response capability. So that's really an overview of what we heard from the public comment. I'm going to just put this slide up and briefly talk about what we're currently doing, and I'm going to turn it over to Yuri to explain the outcomes from the workshop. We will work on threat and risk understanding. I think, in my personal opinion, you know, we need to get some sort of community-wide risk assessment process going, but I think that's still a work in progress in terms of the actual approach to doing so. As I've mentioned, we are going to continue to work with FIRST and the computer response community. One of the things that was initiated at the FIRST sponsors a national CERT meeting, which happened last weekend, actually, after the Miami FIRST meeting. We know that they plan to work with us on issuing a survey to national CERTs about DNS security concerns and where a DNS CERT would fit in their ecosystem. So we look forward to working with Carnegie Mellon CERT CC on that. We do recognize very strongly the community's feedback that I cannot operate a DNS CERT. So that's off the table, and that the staff's focus is on working with others and facilitating the dialogue that has grown up now around a DNS CERT. And then we're going to briefly discuss here the workshop and Conficker reports that have come out since the Nairobi meeting. So with that, I'll introduce Yuri Ito. She works on the security team as the director of security, global security programs. I think it is relevant to mention she was a technical director of the Japanese CERT for 7 years before she joined the ICANN staff and is the longest-standing steering committee member in the first organization, so a deeply experienced CERT response community operator. So with that, Yuri, I'd like you to explain the workshop.
Thank you, Greg. So some update in introducing the outcomes from the DNS CERT operational requirements and collaboration analysis workshop. There was a group of operational security and DNS experts participated in this workshop. Representatives from CCTLD.
Sorry, I messed up. I didn't flip the slide. We're on it now. It's good.
All right, thank you.
You'd started talking and I hadn't flipped the slide.
Okay, thanks. So, it was this slide. Representatives from CCTLD, GTLD, registries, registrars, ISPs, registrants, CERT, security response groups, small size operators from Asia, Africa, and Caribbean region. All the representatives from these participated in this workshop to identify the requirements for responding to DNS security events, many of which are under met or ignored by existing DNS security capabilities. And also, the workshop was trying to identify existing operational and capability gaps in how we presently respond to DNS security threats, conducted use case-based analysis, scenario-based analysis. Workshop report was drafted by three participants from the community and reviewed by all the participants, and now it's uploaded on the ICANN website. The address is listed on the slide here. Next slide, please. Okay. So these are the list of requirements that workshop participants identified. One is a trusted communication channel for use during event response that is usable by appropriate parties. And then standing incident coordination and response functions. Then incident status tracking through to completion of the response. And a trusted trust broker or introduction service across traditional communities' boundaries, recognizing that the community identifying threats to secure DNS operations is often disconnected from a DNS operation, or a vendor community. Also, trusted voice for guidance on issues. Who has DNS security knowledge and experience that is responded by the community. Analysis capability and institutional memory in forms of reports, recommendations, best practices, which can inform and support a successful incident response. So these requirements, next slide, please. These are the listed requirements the participants identified, the requirements which is undermet or undermet currently. So to identify those requirements, participants uses the workshop used a scenario-based discussion on key risk areas for DNS, which is six areas we used, is listed here, protocol and code vulnerabilities, registration is infrastructure compromise, DNSSEC key compromise failure, registration infrastructure failure, denial of service, distributed denial of service attack, malicious use of DNS. These are the key areas we used for the discussion. Next slide, please. So workshop participants also discuss and to identify in each requirement who are the existing players who's playing role to fulfill for this requirement or function. And these are the list of existing players who's playing in this role, in those roles or functions. DNS org is the group that ops trust mailing list, NSPSEC, config working group, forum of incident response security teams, regional CCERT frameworks, and X domain, these are the mailing list, digital crime consortium, ISC, SIE, so the, also community, registry internet safety group, SSAC and RSAC mailing list, ICANN, NANOG and other regional ISP network and operators group, MARG, APWG. These are the groups, the community participants, workshop participants identified existing as existing players who's functioning. So that's the workshop output, and again, the whole report from this workshop is uploaded on the ICANN's website right now.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Yuri. I guess before I start the very brief synopsis of the summary review on Conficker, where we see the workshop report at this point is grist for the mill, or an input to the community dialogue on the notion of a DNS cert. You know, we did, I think, bring together a pretty strong group of people, and it made a good start at how to look at this problem, both kind of a structural approach to looking at the problem, as well as some of the output and thinking that came from that. But at this point, I want to make clear that we don't plan to initiate the development of a cert based on that operational requirements, and that the ICANN staff, again, sees that as an input to a community-driven process on how to proceed on a cert, and hopefully plan to, as I'll mention in a moment, work with the ongoing efforts that have started up at this point in time. Excuse me again. On the Conficker summary and view, I just wanted to mention this. Our senior security technologist, Dave Piscatello, did what I think by most accounts is a very good synopsis of what ICANN's play was in the Conficker situation up until this spring. It's a situation that has not stopped, and there's still a Conficker working group ongoing that works on combating the spread of that malware. The DNS portion of that has declined. The report is posted. It was vetted by the Conficker working group after being drafted by Dave. I did want to mention, however, because both the report or the Conficker situation was one of the kind of catalytic elements that caused us to consider the need for more structured community response capabilities. And again, the report lays out that case about some of the things that we feel like from an ICANN perspective are necessary. And again, I do want to say this is a report focused on ICANN's look at the Conficker situation, not meant to be broader or overreaching in that regard. What we thought we needed to do moving forward is formalize relationships between responders in those sorts of situations. Again, the CERT initiative being one of those ways that might occur. That we put in place appropriate processes to rapidly respond to a situation where, in this case, registries had to do a lot of things quickly. We put together something called the Expedited Registry security response process, which allows for registries to quickly ask for permissions to do things that might be in question contractually in order to, in an expedited fashion, deal with security situations. So that process is actually already in place in terms of faster ways to work with the registries in responding. And then we needed to improve contact information with both the parties within the domain name system as well as those outside in the incident response community. And Yuri's led our efforts on our own internal incident response handling. The website for the configure review is listed on the slide. And we should close. So in closure, both these things that really have been mentioned, in terms of the risk assessment in the first initiative, while there's been some comment and dialogue, there isn't a structured time-bounded effort currently existing within the community. As staff, we certainly, I think, continue to believe such a thing would be useful, want to support it. In terms of the DNS cert, there's probably a couple of dialogues that have either started or are emerging. Again, the SOAC working group we expect to happen, but that's not predetermined at this point. Again, my understanding is the drafting of a charter that will go on, as well as there's the BOF session that was held on Tuesday, and the commitment there was Paul Vixie would initiate a dialogue on the DNS ops mailing list to try to continue the energy that was started there about what would work in terms of a DNS cert. And I believe the DNS OARC organization is also considering, again, what its role might be in the creation of such capabilities. So as staff, we plan to continue to be engaged and support all of these efforts, but really at this point, that's our main look at going forward. So with that, I think that's probably a pretty robust status update. I would like to spend the next half hour answering questions or hopefully talking with you all about, where we should proceed on these initiatives. Thank you. So, the mic is open, the floor is open. The silence is deafening. Oh, let's see if that worked.
Hi, Greg. Bob Hutchinson from Dynamic Ventures. I was curious as to the DNS cert concept, manual processes seem to be, 20-year-old response to security threats. I'm wondering in these groups what was discussed about instrumenting DNSSEC or the entire DNS system, and building a more robust instrumentation for DNS so that we as a community can see the health of its operation in real time?
It's a very interesting question, Bob, and I would give you probably both a staff answer and maybe a personal perspective as a cybersecurity person. Starting with the second, which is my own perspective, I do think the CERT community and the dialogues that go on within it recognize that incident response and kind of manually chunking through ticketing systems is increasingly not the most effective way. The amount of activity is just too much, that increased amounts of automation and situational awareness are necessary. So there is some dialogue in our own DNS CERT discussions of how to operate a DNS cert, though we really haven't got down into the level of, how to create the right monitoring capabilities or at least, status update health checking, as you mentioned. From a staff perspective, the actual topic of our last annual symposium on security and resiliency was DNS health. And the specific notion was trying to get some baseline on what measurement capabilities are out there, what characteristics of DNS health would you want to try to measure, and what are the gaps in that regard. So I would point you to the symposium report. We did the symposium in Kyoto last year on DNS health measurement in way forward, where that's the work that we've done so far on answering that question. The two would definitely need to come together in my mind, that one of the things that a CERT could most productively provide is some situational awareness on the health of the DNS so that all the operators could initiate action on their own if that was appropriate.
In the one of the workshops that was mentioned that in I guess it was a DNSSEC workshop by one of the panel members that, for example, key circulation issues in the U.S. government's implementations of DNSSEC in some cases have left broken keys in the system for up to a couple of months, and there is no current way to find the contact who owns the management of that stuff. Okay, and so there are hundreds of issues like this in DNS that honestly, I think as a manual cert, you're going to have a real difficult time dealing with.
I don't think there's any concept for a manual, you know, or human-only kind of cert. What I think are very good points, I think both well-instrumented understanding of a wide variety of things, whether it's status of DNSSEC, you know, related issues, just routing, you know, issues related to, you know, how DNS queries are being routed, because there's been issues around that, that good situational awareness will allow identification of potential problems quickly, and that, so there's a second portion of that thought that I'm starting to lose, but that, you know, that the CERT will also be able to get in contact, if people identify an issue, one of the roles, as Yuri, you know, outlined it, is that knowing who else is out there and being able to put parties in contact with each other, I think is one of the most central roles. Is the security community doesn't know much about registry and registrar operations. We were in a room with over 100 people, and we asked them how many people know what a register of CERT people, and how many people know what a registrar is. And the number of hands that went up was less than 10. You know, so the notion that the CERT community knows how to quickly reach in and contact people in the domain name system community at the operational level, there's just not that much awareness there. So, and we're trying to raise that awareness independent of a CERT, but there's a lot of connectivity to be provided. Yuri, do you have any other thoughts in that regard? Maybe this is where the less resource piece comes in, which is also, go ahead.
Why don't you take that?
So I mentioned about the list of existing players, and I call that a long list of existing players. But the more importantly, the key message of that players is there are players there, but not necessarily outreaching to resource-constrained operators, or not necessarily outreaching to Africa or Middle East. Southeast Asia operators from the key resource response community and networks.
Other questions, comments?
Doug Mullen, a couple questions on the report. So on page 11 of your report, you outline scenarios 5.2, 6.1, and 6.2, but they're not included in the report. Do you have those documented somewhere? And at some point in time, those will be further discussed within the community. They're just mentioned and not captured anywhere.
So, Doug, in the execution of the workshop, you know, we had done a set of scenarios that we distributed to workshop participants. We ended up not getting through all the scenarios. So it probably would be a useful thing, you know, to just post the kind of scenario basis that we used as just additional documentation. So I think we can take that on board and post that material.
I think it would be useful, at least for those of us in the community, to understand what other scenarios you were thinking about, even though you didn't get to talk about them.
Yep, we can do that.
Second question I have has to do with the minority statement on the report. There are a number of items identified in the minority statement, and I'm curious, have you responded to those items? Will you respond to those items? And how do you intend to deal with some of those items?
So we promised all the participants, right, in when we started the workshop, that we were not going to, you know, either, you can look at this two ways. We were not going to force a consensus. We also felt like we didn't have the ability to to run a multi-month process to drive a consensus. You work on a complicated issue. You have over 20 smart participants. We knew going in that we may have people that wanted to express their opinions. So, you know, we always had left open the notion of providing alternative views. Two participants, availed themselves of that opportunity, Greg Aaron of Afilias and Kathy Kleinman of PIR. Because the workshop report is really just information for the community, I see that as really just another set of information, right? You know, the drafters of the report, vetted by most of the participants, saw the output as in the main report. Other participants saw other things, another perspective from the workshop. It's really up to the kind of user to decide, you know, how to use that. We don't see the dissenting or alternative view as something that is something we need to respond to, especially since staff's not driving, you know, the development of concept of operations or anything at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's fine. Next item was one of the complaints in the minority statement, I think, has to deal with different activities in the community. I was wondering if you can say anything about what you view as the calendar for the next 6 months with respect to all of these things surrounding DNS cert, DNS stability activities. A lot of these things, one of the complaints was the workshop was put together fairly quickly, limited number of people involved. And I'm just curious if you guys have published, plan to publish, have thought about what is the calendar going forward in the next 6 months or so to try to drive some of these things to a resolution?
So as staff, you know, based mostly on the community's feedback, we don't feel like we're in the driver's seat. At this point, you know, where we think we are is strong supporters, both probably as on process as well as hopefully some substance on the efforts that will, I think, begin within the SOAC structure, right? So there'll be I imagine there will be a working group. My discussions with some of the chairs of the CCNSO or the chairs of the CCNSO and the GNSO is they hope that initiates itself fairly quickly, that starting is not a multi-month process, right? And that they'll have a charter and they'll have to plan out a work plan. So that will provide one set of, you know, got a feel for you as to what's going to happen when. My sense is that's going to be a fairly prolonged effort. Then, you know, the BOF really, you know, I think its path forward is not particularly clear, but, you know, that, you know, Paul will initiate a dialogue that there may form enough of a critical mass around that. Again, we understand that OARC is considering potentially it, you know, being advocating, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but their role in progressing this idea. So I guess the basic answer is it's not particularly clear at this point, but there seems to be two or three separate initiatives that may continue forward with this work.
Okay. One final question. In your analysis on the DNS cert, did you look at all at the what is called the INOC DBA, the Internet Network Operations Center, dial by ASN? So this is an organization of about 2,200 network operations folks in the routing community that they're all connected together for communications purposes to keep the net up. And it's fairly robustly funded and used by the operations people. If you haven't looked at that system, you might want to look at the, it's called INOC DBA.
So the answer is no, and it did not come up much, though John's...
We're actually on that system for our DNS operations.
John mentions to me for ICANN's own DNS operations, we're on that system.
Right.
So, Doug, I think what this points to in a broader sense is we've got this recognition that the network operators and the routing piece of this is important. We've probably artificially segmented the DNS piece to a degree from that. You know, as the idea progresses, you know, interfaces with that community would probably be a very useful part of how we did business, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think one of the key things is it's a virtual organization. It's not physical, which some people have issues when you use the phrase DNS cert. They view it as a physical organization. But it's really information coordination and sharing amongst, you know, over 2,000 NetOps people.
So you're saying as a model, it might be a nice...
It might be a model you guys think about rather than a, you know, tying the CERT label
right.
to what you're doing. You might think about a different model.
Okay. Marilyn?
Hi, Greg. My name is Marilyn Cade, and I really appreciate following up on the previous speaker because he captured a couple of the things that I was going to say. But I will just make an observation about that may not be obvious but it, to you, but it's obvious to me as I listen. We say that the staff is not leaving, is not driving. So far this morning, after the comments have primarily focused on DNS CERT and not on Initiative 1. So I'd like to talk about Initiative 1 for a minute, but first of all, I want to follow up on the comment you made. The network operators have a significant stake in what you're doing, but I think there is a significant gap in outreach to them. My own view on that is it would be good to bridge that gap now. They build and run the internet, and while they certainly rely on resolution services and DNSSEC is important to them, there are some other, I think, activities, in particular in relation to sharing information, that might be helpful to begin the interaction now. I had a question about the ISPs who participated in your tabletop exercise. Is that the information about who they are public?
The specifics on each participant are posted in the report. So, yeah, all the information we have about the participants is public in the sense that it's in the
report.
And
how many ISPs, if you remember?
I don't have exact number. But there are a number of the people who's currently not ISP but used to be, for example, the U.S. ISPs, and then now become other position, but hadn't a long experience in ISP.
I think it's important on that workshop that it was not people were not invited to represent organizations, right? This was really supposed to be an operational expertise, so people were actually invited based on their resumes, not on their organizational positioning. To say that we had ISP representatives may misrepresent the situation because we weren't really taking organizational affiliations into account.
Yeah, I think that may also cause misunderstandings. And maybe we should all make a concerted effort if we're going to focus on Initiative 1 to focus on Initiative 1. Where I think that all the comments, which I too read, indicate that there's strong interest and interest in a dialogue. The second point on that I'd like to make is I think it's really important, and this is a complexity that it seems like a little thing, but words matter. You are actually talking to the councils, not to the GNSO. The GNSO is a much broader group. The GNSO has been restructured. It now has stakeholder groups. And so just a point for you and Yuri, because even the community of ourselves get confused about that. And it is the stakeholder groups that you want people from. The people you want are embedded into the stakeholder groups or back home and have a contact who works in the stakeholder group. So just a word for you about, you know, when people raise their hand, push a little hard and say, have you gone out to your full stakeholder group? Because I think you'll get additional interest or different people in addition to the people you may get otherwise.
Fair enough. Marilyn, I'll ask you. One of the things that, you know, we need on Initiative 1 is some sort of notion of how to proceed. You know, again, we're a little bit hesitant to launch that from the staff at this point, wanting to ensure, you know, provide confidence in the community that these things are bottom-up sorts of initiatives. So, you know, what I think we're reaching out to all the stakeholder groups and, you know, the community at large is, you know, give us a way forward on that that you think would actually be properly inclusive. Because I fundamentally believe that Initiative 1 is the more important of the two initiatives. So
I'll just reinforce, I think, something that I believe is coming forward from the message you're trying to give, and that is community-wide. And community-wide means it's going to take some time. And in order for there are stages of creating awareness and understanding before you get to actual exchange of information. And I think maybe we should all be thinking about how do we go through those stages, and in some cases we're going to have to do things in parallel. So I'm not sure I'm giving you a very direct answer, but it's probably going to take a little longer than you might prefer. One thing I would say is the next time that you can schedule this workshop, insist that they give you a better slot and do not let them schedule something against it.
Thank you. Real quick, Patrick, we don't have anything in remote participation, apparently. Okay.
Thank you. Steve Metallitz here on behalf of the Coalition for Online Accountability. I want to thank you for the rundown that you've given on some of the activities that you're doing in this very important area. I have a couple of questions, and I'm not sure this is the appropriate forum for them. Perhaps it's the next one, but let me ask them anyway, and you can tell me if I should ask them elsewhere. One of our concerns in a time of unusual fiscal austerity for ICANN is that the security, stability, and resiliency operations function is slated for just about the largest increase in its budget in fiscal year 11 of any other group. And in fact, if this budget is approved, it will be the largest single activity that ICANN engages in among the 15 organizational activities in terms of the dollars committed to it. And I'm, in going over both the original budget framework and the budget that will be approved by the board or voted on by the board tomorrow, there's not very much detail about what this $7.1 million would be spent on. And I notice that there's almost no overlap between what's listed in the budget document and what you've talked about this morning. The budget document talks about the labor cost for DNSSEC implementation, security program certifications, external audits of ICANN security, hardening of ICANN's infrastructure, and other important activities highlighted in the strategic plan. Focus of efforts is particularly on internal security efforts. Now, it may be that it's not appropriate really to discuss all this in a public forum, but I think there should be somewhere that there's a little more explanation. Since these two initiatives are only mentioned in this budget document in the final sentence where it says, operational costs to operate DNS cert are not included in this draft of ICANN's operating plan and budget. So all of this, most of what you've talked about today is not even covered by this largest budget item. Is there a place or a time when there could be more discussion about what ICANN is spending in getting for its $7.1 million in this budget item?
So, Steve, I think you're right. This is probably not the right forum, but I am going to respond in a degree. These initiatives are not funded. To the extent we're trying to explain the $7 million in the FY11 budget, just be clear to everyone, there's no dedicated resources to either one of these initiatives. There's staff time that will, you know, be committed to continuing forward with the community on these initiatives. There's some cost to that. On process, where I think you should look for more explanation is either make a call saying the security lead should explain to the community the constituent pieces of $7 million, which I'm going to do briefly in a second. Or this is an operating budget sort of thing, drive it into the dialogue about the FY ops plan and, you know, why is this funded at this level? I think the limited amount of explanation does hit to the key aspects. I run a small staff, you know, of five people, right? And that has a $2 million budget, most of which is focused on internal, you know, corporate security and risk management, continuity sorts of activities. Obviously, there's a gap between two and seven. Large portion of other activities, particularly the fairly robust efforts going into DNSSEC implementation, a portion of the DNS operations budget, including the operation of LRoot, a significant portion of the ICANN's IT budget that has to do with backup facilities, you know, all of which are internal operations of the corporation, are in that $7 million figure. You know, working with Kevin, we could break that out in some granularity, you know, if there's a call for that. But as you mentioned, really, it's a fairly large figure. Most of it has to do with fairly solid infrastructural sorts of things we're either doing internal to ICANN or, again, the DNSSEC and LRoot sorts of operations.
Well, thank you. That is helpful. I would point out that DNS operations is a separate budget item, separate from the one I just looked at.
Right.
It's slated for an 82% increase, so it's clearly that there are I think this problem crosses over. It's never been that clear to me in terms of DNSSEC, which I agree is a very important initiative, what's covered where. So I will take it up in the budget discussion. I appreciate the response you've given.
Okay. Looks like we have potentially Lee with a question.
I'm not sure it's as much a question as a comment. I think we'd say, this is Lee Williams from the financial community, I'd say that we agree with many of the things that you've heard in the workshop and this morning. We think that it's important that existing capabilities be reviewed as we think about DNS cert. It's important that we engage the community on security, as Marilyn has said. It's important, as Steve has said, that we think very explicitly about how resources are dedicated to security. All of those disciplines are absolutely critical. That said, it's also very important to us as a community, I think, that we actively engage on all of this. Security is absolutely a priority. So we see it as very positive that this discussion on DNS cert is taking place, that sometimes we have to be maybe just a little bit more ambitious than people might comfortably have been had we not raised this question. We think that it's very important that members of the GNS Council and the GNSO generally and the business constituency and all the constituencies actively weigh in on security. And if it takes a little bit of effort on the part of the staff to make that happen, or a little bit of effort on the part of the community to get that kind of enlistment, we think that's worthwhile. So while it might not be entirely comfortable for all of us, and it's important that we have the kind of discipline that Steve and others encourage us to have, we also think that it's enough of a priority that if sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get this as high on the list as it needs to be, we from the financial community would support doing whatever it takes to get that on people's radar.
Thank you, Lee. The timing's pretty good. We're a couple minutes to 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Any other comments in the room? Patrick, nothing out there on remote participation, I assume. All right, I thank everybody for coming in early on Thursday morning, again after the gala. I thought this was a very good discussion. Again, you know, we will continue both to engage with the community efforts, be as outwardly facing and transparent as we can with regard to how we're working on these issues. So thank you very much.